what they do. And I can't thank them enough for all their tireless work and help and identifying some of the finer players I think we got in this year's draft. I want to thank the college scouts, the coaches, for all that they've done, because this is a collective effort with all of us here in this organization. So with that, we'll take y'all's questions.
I know you guys get into this because it's fun for you. I'm sure the draft is fun for you, but because it is so long, right, is there a part of you at all that's happy it's over, or does it just kind of depend on how it works?
You know what? This is me personally. These other guys could probably answer this as well, but I know for me, my biorhythms and my internal clock, you're just programmed to do certain things at certain, parts of the year. And this just so happens to be, to me, a very critical part of building this organization the way that we see it to be built in the future. So it's just part of the yearly schedule.
John, can you go over the four guys you drafted today? Just kind of where you see them fitting in, what you liked about them?
You know what? Sometimes, you guys always laugh at me, but you let that board, it falls in unique ways if you have a degree of patience. I thought today we were very lucky because each one of these guys fell in their respective rounds, and at each time they fell and each time we selected them, the more we got excited. With DeAnthony Thomas, what he gives us, he gives us, hybrid type of player. He's one of those guys. He's a niche player. He can play running back. He can play slot receiver. He can return kicks. He can return punts. We're going to be able to utilize his traits and his skills. And with a coach like Andy Reid, you're going to take advantage of that. We're excited to get him. Again, when you go into the 163rd pick with Aaron Murray, you let the board talk to you. We had a chance to get a really quality quarterback at that position. So therefore, we said we're going to go and get that player because he was the best player on the board at the time. And then as it fell, then we went with two offensive linemen because we thought we needed to add some more depth to the offensive linemen. And at each time that they fell in the sixth round, they were the highest rated player. So the board spoke, and I think it did a nice job.
Where's Murray in his rehab? When's he going to be able to practice for you?
I would think that he's right now probably 90% there. I would project him. You don't want to rush somebody like that, but I would say let's see where he is in training camp and see how much progress he makes when he gets here. So that's kind of what you're going to look at, and everybody's going to make an assessment with him.
Yeah, sure. But do you anticipate he'll be able to participate in the OTAs? Rookie camp?
Maybe not rookie minicamp, but maybe training camp.
Okay. What'd you like about him? What is it with him? He doesn't have that huge arm. He doesn't have the huge size. What do you like about him?
He's a winner. Bottom line, he's a winner. He's been a winner at every stage that he's played between, high school and college. Ultra competitive, incredibly smart. What I like about him is when there's big drives to be made late in the game, this guy made those, he made those drives. He didn't always win them, but he made those big drives at the end when it really counted. And look, you want to put some statistics in there. He's got multiple records in the SEC, which is as good a conference as there is in today's football. So he performed at a very high level.
What about his ability to make all the necessary throws? Does he have that in your mind?
I do. I think he can make all the throws.
Is the selection of Murray any kind of indication about the state of talks regarding Alex Smith?
No, but what it is, it's an indication of is he was there, you had a shot to get him, why not take a shot and try to get this guy and better your team and add quality depth to your roster? That's what that gives you.
For the Road Warriors, do you ever look at a guy like Aaron Murray, and it seems like he's been there forever, do you ever get tired of seeing him, or can you sit there and remember a freshman play and be able to compare it to a senior play?
Well, I think for us on the road, sometimes you see a guy, especially in the SEC, you take notice of the younger players. You can't help it, when a guy's making plays. And a guy like Aaron Murray, who's been a starter for so long, you're like, he's getting better, he's getting better. And as John, alluded to earlier, the guy makes plays at key stages of key games, and he's done that his whole career. So we do take note of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you like to have guys with history. Every guy we've taken, example, Phillip Gaines. I remember Phillip Gaines from 3 years ago being at a Rice practice and David Bailiff, the head coach, telling me, hey, I have a corner that one day is going to be a really good player here. So it's good. It's good. I mean, that's our job, to track players' history and to watch them grow and become, you know, become players in the NFL.
About Gaines, obviously you've done your research.
Mm-hmm.
And John spoke about his the marijuana. People like, how comfortable were you in doing that research that, you know, he kind of done what they'd asked him to do, and just any anecdote or anything you could share there to kind of...
Absolutely. Hey, kids make mistakes. Kids are in college. They make mistakes. We all were 18, 19, 20 years old at some time, and they make mistakes. I'm very close with the head coach, very close with the defensive coordinator, and I'm very close with another coach on that staff, and they all vouch for this kid. And they speak very highly of his character and what he stands for. So, yeah, I've been doing this a long time, in that, especially in that area, and absolutely have tremendous faith in the kid and who he is as a person.
Chris or John or both of you guys, if you want, I know you're signing some guys right now, undrafted guys, and you can still sign some veterans before you get to camp, but the bulk of your roster is in place now for what you're going to take to camp. How do you feel about this roster?
I think right now we've improved the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, we've created that competitive depth that we continually talk about. But we will always continue to look for players as we go along. That's what we do. It's our job to try to, if in fact we feel that there's a player that can help this organization, we're going to go and acquire him.
Sure. But relative to where, say, you ended last season, I know you got more bodies now, but you feel like this is improved?
Well, we'll see. I mean, right now we feel pretty good about where we are at this stage. I think any time that you have a chance to add the quality of players that we added through this draft class, I feel pretty good here now. I really do.
I know about D'Anthony Thomas, obviously. You talked a little bit about him, but you didn't add a guy this weekend, at least, who can play on the outside for you. Is that a disappointment that you went through these 3 days without doing that? And I know you signed a couple guys after the draft, but
it's not over yet. I mean, there's still some things still going on, and you still got training camp, and there's still opportunities to acquire, you know, those players, the types of players that you're looking at. In fact, if you want to go in that direction.
So, if that's not a disappointment necessarily, you guys weren't able to get that done this weekend?
No, I think the players that we got here, I'm very happy with, and that's kind of what I'm proud of.
Your Maple Leaf tackle in the sixth round.
He's a doctor from McGill Medical School.
Yeah. Well, is he closer to being a doctor than he is an NFL player?
He's pretty good now. He's a very interesting fellow. He is a gentleman that's going to, when it's all said and done, be, I would say, between 325 and 330. I think with the potential that he has ahead of him is really good. Now, he's going to have to learn, but what he demonstrated at the East-West game, and he actually played at a very high level, he did very well. And then, when you have a player like that, an example is, he's got so much more room to grow, but the combination of his size and athleticism makes him an exceptionally intriguing prospect.
I wouldn't call any of these guys unique, but the size he is, and you can even see it on the crappy tape we can call up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
He's an athlete.
He's very athletic, and it's very rare that you can acquire a player in the sixth round with his athletic traits. So therefore, you take a shot on a guy like that. And then, we had brought him in here as one of our 30 visits, and, he duly impressed everybody with his person, and his depth of football. He's a really neat kid.
John, in your mind, given the system that Aaron Murray played in Georgia, how much of a head start does he have learning this team's version of the West Coast offense?
Well, I mean, he's played in a pro-style offense. That always helps. He'll have no problem with terminology. He'll have no problem recognizing defenses. I think he will just jump right in with the rest of them. And as quick a study and as learned as he is, I would think he has no problem picking this stuff up.
Thank you. You already have another young developmental quarterback there, and a guy you paid last offseason. So what's the message to those guys now? You can't carry four. You got to carry three. So.
Competition. brings out the best in every athlete.
Speaking of competition, going back to Thomas, obviously you signed Joe McKnight to a reserve future deal. You had Weston Dressler, and they were going to compete for a slot receiver position or even a kickoff return. How's this going to play out in your mind?
Again, that's the beauty of football. Let them compete for the best. Who is the best guy? Let them compete. I mean, that's why you kind of do this.
Thomas does do a lot of stuff. What stands out, I guess, most other than he does a lot? I mean, is there something
speed.
You can pinpoint?
He can run. I mean, the one thing, if you really go watch the college film and the college games, when he gets at his high point in terms of his running and acceleration, you'll watch him run, and then the defenses are trying to close in on him. They can never get really close because he is so exceptionally fast. He's got dynamic speed.
Some of the guys that have come out of that system, though, it hasn't quite translated, like Kenyon Barker. What makes him different? Why do you think for him?
Well, because you have a coach like Andy Reid who is really good with these types of players and the kind of offense that Andy runs. He's going to create situational matchups for this type of player. And that's kind of, you take advantage of his unique athletic traits, and then you let the coach scheme him in to certain, packages that take advantage of defenses, and that's what's going to happen.
And just to interject real quick, not just Coach Reed. I mean, Coach Tobe, must don't underestimate what he's been able to do in his career with unique talents at returner. He did it in Chicago. I was with him. I watched him take four guys, and all were very good players. And then he came in here, and what he did with Dexter McCluster and our kickoff returners. So we got some unique staff here to take advantage of his unique skill set.
Are we starting off as Duvernay Tardif going to be a tackle? Is there some guard in him?
Well, I would think, he's got an exceptional value because he can – I would think he may be able to play four – he play left tackle, right tackle, guard. I mean, just kind of let's work him in to see what he fits best.
It's probably too early to say that he would be in the mix with Reshaw and Fulton at right guard and Lincoln Locke and those guys.
Well, you wait till when you get to training camp to see that.
You drafted guys out of the Ivy League and now McGill Medical School. Are you trying to compensate for something here?
No, all I know is 82% of the National Football League is Division I, so therefore you have the other, what is that, help me out here on my mathematics. So the rest of it you can fill in your team. And so hopefully our team is broken down, with those percentages there of, let's say, 18%.
Is there some value in guys that are book smart? I mean, does that help them?
No, I think especially when you play the offensive line, you have to have a degree of mental quickness because of the stunts and the packages and the recognition of defensive stunts and where to slide and where to pick up. That's important.
How many guys do you guys anticipate signing, undrafted guys?
Enough.
10?
Somewhere around there.
You got room for 9? Is that the numbers today?
Yeah, I mean, you could go anywhere between, you could go 9, you may go over a little bit. I mean, it all depends. We have to get finished doing all that, but.
The guys you drafted today don't count until you sign them. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can go over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you don't have anybody else unsigned.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm on this list of 81 names here. Everybody else has a contract,
yeah,
except the draft picks.
Yeah.
Chris, caught up with you guys at the combine, and at that point you talked about all the due diligence that you've done, all the hours, countless hours in the preparation, mm-hmm, and the confidence that you'd have come this time where the decisions would be made, and obviously you react to what happens when the board falls. John talks a lot about the board. Can you just kind of talk about the process from the combine to now and how it felt?
From the combine, it's been a continual process from the pro. We went from the combine to the pro days. We tracked free agent guys. I mean, everybody we had interest in, and it was always a continual process. I mean, we even sent somebody to Canada, to work Duvernay out. So we feel like when we got to this point, everybody was excited because this is for the scouts. This is more or less like the Super Bowl for us. I mean, guys last night were huddling up, talking about how excited they were, the last few days, and we just, continue the process, and now it's kind of a take your breath for a day and let's move on, so.
Yeah, and I don't know if we talk enough about, because I've always, our area scouts and our pro staff, they are outstanding. They are the eyes and ears of this organization, and they're not always around and they're not always seen. And it takes a very humble servant to be able to come in and do that job. And they dug. They went the extra mile on every player. And you think about it now, if they're scouting 400 or 500 guys each, and, you know, we're drafting six players, it's tough. It's tough, especially if you don't get one taken from your area. So I can't speak highly enough of their work and the diligence they put in.
For all three of you, last year the process was familiar, but everybody sitting next to you was kind of new.
Yeah.
And how much, I don't want to say easier, but how much better did it click this year?
Well, I know for me, I mean, you know all the guys in the room from working with them, you know, from different places. But the more comfortable we got, and, you know, you guys have been in these press conferences, the guy to my left, he works at such a pace that we, you know, you got to pick it up and get going. So we're always on the move, and it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
It's easy. It's called trust.
Yeah.
You know, when you have exceptional guys that really love the craft that they're doing, you allow them to take ownership into the process, it's very meaningful to them. And you know that they are going to do, you know, the nines to get this thing right. And, you know, that's what it is. I mean, we're a very close-knit group, and we spend a lot of time together. And I think there's a great degree of trust amongst all of us. When, at the end of the day, we're going to get this thing right.
Chris, I'm a little interested in your process. I mean, I know you guys work hard to try and make it all work together. But, for example, when you're going out on the road, I mean, we got visual instructions where John likes his corners with long arms. And we know that, you know, Andy has his preferences for receivers. Just when you're going out there, you know, how much of, you know, you doing your job, you've got to have to funnel into what those guys like. And also, you know, kind of have your own eyes.
Well, you look at players and you work within certain criteria. You know, each team has the, you know, certain guys they want in certain positions, this or that. But in the end, you're looking at football players. We're trying to get the best football players for the Chiefs, and we want them in a certain criteria. So you can be on the road, and after a while, it's just secondhand. You look at a guy and you're like, you know, this is a guy that fits for us, or, you know, this is a guy that, you know, might be better off somewhere else.
It's funny because we're all different, but we all think very much alike. You know, we're looking for unique traits. Mm-hmm. That's what makes special players, unique traits. Every guy we drafted has a unique trait about him. You can see it. I mean, Dee Ford, speed, gains, length and speed. DeAnthony Thomas, make you miss and speed. Aaron Murray, instincts, accuracy. They're all unique, full size, strength. DuVernay's got the most unique skill set of all of them. It's just you want unique traits. That's what you have a chance to hit the ceiling on a player if he's got unique skill set.
Oh, just, so are there like – you can answer this too. Are there like baseline? Like, is there like a cutoff point for guys? Because you got this whole country, right, and you got all these prospects. Let's say, you know, if a guy, his arms fall beneath the cutoff line, will you just kind of do your due diligence but not go into it as much or –
No. Well, certain positions have certain traits.
Yeah. I mean, if a guy can play football, he can play football regardless of his size. And you can make certain exceptions and you can make guys fit when they have exceptional talent, you know.
And, John, do you have any, you know, reaction to Michael Sam being drafted by the Rams? Because what does it mean for Lee?
He's a good football player. I mean, the guy was SEC Defensive Player of the Year for a reason. And you know what? That's why you're happy. You know, the guy got drafted. You know, he's made his dream. His dream was playing National Football League. He's playing in the National Football League now.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Jim.